Flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-flippity-fl Hello, and welcome to episode 27 of the Tag Podcast.
Hello, how are you?
We hope you're all doing very well, unless you were talking to me. I'm fine, thanks very much. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very, very, very good.
Excellent, then we're both good.
Except I'm not very good.
Well, you're not very good at a lot of things, but you're mostly fine at...
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. And... I think you know why. We're going to get to it in a bit.
Yes.
But I'm not. Yeah. I'm not good at all.
This week we're doing a bit of an Oscars roundup and then just a general movie podcast as well. So we're not just going to talk about the Oscars results.
No.
We'll be talking about some movies too. But let's dive in to the Oscars results. And I think there's a bit of a sore point that we both feel with one of the results especially.
Let's not start off with a bad point. Let's start with some good points. Birdman won best feature film, which I was happy about. I was glad because I know that The Theory of Everything is a very good film, but I don't know. It still feels a little bit too much like. You know, look at us, aren't we being dramatic? And Birdman was a film, I feel, that was made for no one other than the people making Birdman, and it just so happened that it was a good film that people wanted to watch. So I'm glad that won. I did feel really sorry for Michael Keaton. There's a short clip you can see where Eddie Redmayne goes to pick up his Oscar for Best Actor, and he has to pass Michael Keaton, who... It just so happens at that time he's stuffing his acceptance speech back into his pocket, and I was like, "Oh, that's horrible."
Really, I know people want to brush up last minute, but you really can't get it out that.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah, like I was like, "Oh, that's."
But obviously, with it winning Best Picture, he couldn't have had Best Actor as well.
No,
it was good, but I don't think it wasn't a sweeper.
Don't get me wrong. The film wouldn't be nearly as good without his performance.
No.
But it could have been someone else's performance as well. The film stood up anyway. Whereas The Theory of Everything, I mean, Eddie Redmayne was just Stephen Hawking. So, but I was glad with those wins. And kind of expected them as well. So. I think there was a couple I disagreed with. One of them was a lead actress, or best female actor, and simply because I haven't seen the Julianne Moore film that she won for. But I wanted Rosamund Pike to get it for Gone Girl.
I think a lot of people wanted her.
But
it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
That was the only big nomination it got.
Yeah, I felt it deserved. It probably deserved a bit more, but oh well. I suppose it can't be helped now. I'm trying to think. Sorry, I haven't got the things up with me. There's got to be another one that I disagree. Supporting female actor as well. Boyhood got. Considerably less awards than I thought it would get. So I suppose they had to give it to Patricia Arquette. But again, I felt like Keira Knightley deserved it for The Imitation Game. I think she put up a good fight in that film to come out on top, especially when you're up against Benedict Cumberbatch. To still be considered memorable in it is. It's just a shame that she didn't get to get the award. But again, I uh, I'm not particularly like majorly upset about that. Let's talk about the big upset.
The big upset. Well, it seems incredible and astonishing, and we are devastated. But
I like Big Hero 6. But Big Hero 6 is a good film.
Yeah.
But
there wasn't enough special about Big Hero 6. It was fine. It was all right. I rewatched it the other day.
Yeah.
And it's fine, but
I've seen it a couple of times now, and I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. It's a very entertaining film, but that's what it is. It's just entertaining. It's not Oscar worthy.
No.
It doesn't deserve an Oscar for that.
I thought it got the nomination that the Lego movie should have had.
I think the
Lego movie would, in my book generally scored higher than Big Hero 6.
Yeah. And let's be fair, the fact that the Lego movie was shunned was bad enough.
Mm.
To then give it to Disney just for the sake of brand recognition, which is the only reason that I can see that this film got the award that it did, because, well, it's Disney. How to Train Your Dragon was a better story, better animation, better voices, better. I don't think I should need to explain it. It was just a superior film in every sense. I mean, just the music alone, which, by the way, has been fucking snubbed as well. Just the music alone is enough for me to think that this film deserved way more than it got. But I don't know, I watched the whole ceremony. I stayed up late, and there I was, like, fingers crossed, and then they announced fucking Big Hero 6, and I was like, seriously? Seriously? But anyway, right, that's the negativity done now. What else? What else? Who else won Oscars that we can remember?
The Imitation Game got one, which was nice for it to at least get one, because
yeah, it was the best adapted screenplay, wasn't it?
I think it should have it ought to have got a win in another bigger category, but I'm glad it got an Oscar at least. I personally I'd have had Benedict Cumberbatch over Eddie Redmayne. Because the trouble is, you know, people, Stephen Hawking is much more contemporary, you know, he's obviously still alive, people have met him, people know him.
Yeah.
So you can say, oh, Eddie Redmayne is definitively Stephen Hawking, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Alan Turing, you know, he committed suicide in the 1950s.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can't say, oh, yes, no, that's perfect, that's exactly how he was, but I think, you know, the character, the person as a character on screen had a much more interesting arc in The Imitation Game, a much more powerful arc.
Whereas
Eddie Redmayne, Eddie Redmayne, Stephen Hawking, you know, he has the struggle with his disability at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you see him shutting himself away from the world.
Yeah, but
by the middle of the film, he's already over that, and the story switches attention from focus from him to his wife.
Yeah.
Which is what made that last scene where he's in front of that crowd, and he stands up and hands the pen or the pencil back to the girl. Mm. Felt a little off to me, because, you know, for so long now in this film, for, you know, over half an hour, we've been focusing just on the wife and her struggles with everything. And then suddenly for the last message, we're going back to Stephen Hawking again.
Yeah.
I felt that The Imitation Game, the journey of the character was a lot better. That's just my opinion. Who am I?
There was one thing. There was one thing that really stood out to me about the whole ceremony as well. And they said it a couple of times, and they were really, they were really taking digs at comic book movies throughout the ceremony.
Really?
And yeah, like, and I was thinking it was only last year, maybe the year before, that you invited all of the Avengers on stage to introduce all of the technical awards. And I was like, this is, you know, this is a bit taking the piss in that, at the end of the day, okay, you can say that these films are deserving of these awards as much as you want. What I think the Academy fails to acknowledge is that the highest grossing film last year was Transformers Age of Extinction. It grossed over $1.4 billion. And, okay, the film wasn't amazing. I like the Transformers films. I don't care that people hate Michael Bay. I haven't got anything against the guy. I like the escapism that I can have from reality when I watch a Michael Bay film. And I think, well, I'm leaving reality at the cinema door. I'll pick it up when I come back out. You know, I enjoy having just that fun romp for a couple of hours of just Bayhem. And
I think you're going to have to put a penny in some sort of jar for that one. But
yeah, no, because it's he gets a lot of
I'm not being too serious, but
And you can't deny that the effects in a film like that aren't completely up to standard.
Mm.
I wouldn't say groundbreaking by any sense, but they're perfectly good. But of course it's not nominated. Now, I don't want Transformers to get an Oscar nomination. That's not the corner I'm fighting here. What I'm saying is there are a lot of films, particularly the Marvel films, particularly Guardians of the Galaxy, which shocked a lot of people at just how good it actually was. And okay, Guardians was nominated for, I think, two awards, costume and makeup and then hair and styling or something. And it was snubbed on both counts. And it just annoys me that they've had these pop at these superhero movies, and all I'm thinking is, you know, you guys wouldn't be making the money you make now, considering that the Academy is made up of a lot, you know, something like, I think there's 300 members and 200 of those members are actors. These guys wouldn't be making nearly the money they make now if it wasn't for these films, you know, generating the income in Hollywood for studios to take a risk on these more dramatic, more sort of like alienating films. Because there's a lot of the general public that are going to look at something like Birdman and go, I can't identify with this character, I'm not going to watch it, it's too, quote, independent or something like that. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of the general population that will watch it, but not nearly as many that are going to go and see something like Guardians of the Galaxy or Transformers than are.
I think it's quite telling that the one award where those kind of films, or certainly talking about the superhero films, and that kind of genre, the one film where they do get nominated and there's a bit of competition is always the visual effects.
Yeah.
And which one wins? It's the Arty Farty Interstellar that wins.
Yeah. Granted,
Interstellar was very, very good looking.
Interstellar was a very good movie. And, you know, visually speaking, I think that's all Interstellar can play on, really, because the story was a bit sort of spread thin, I find. It was a bit go here, do this, and then story. You know, as far as Chris Nolan goes, I think he bit off a bit more than he could probably chew with this one. His eyes were a bit too big, a bit bigger than his stomach. But visually, brilliant film. But it always, it's like you say, it always seems to be that the category where these films do get a notice, where they go, okay, we kind of have to acknowledge this now. They always try and find a way around it. And this one was, this year was Interstellar. It would have been interesting to see how Interstellar would have done if it was next year or something like that in a film against Avengers, you know. But you can see this sort of thing in Lord of the Rings. The first two Lord of the Rings films completely snubbed from the Oscars. And when Return of the King came out, there was such a public outcry that these films had been snubbed that finally they went, okay, let's actually acknowledge these Lord of the Rings films. And as soon as the Academy started voting, you find that Lord of the Rings Return of the King now is one of three films that has the most Oscars. There are three films that have over 11 Oscars each. And that's Ben-Hur, The Titanic, and Lord of the Rings Return of the King. And it's just annoys me that just because it's not grounded in realism, you know, that these films are snubbed because it doesn't tackle the subjects that basically the Academy wants to tackle. You know, I know it's like a real joke.
What the superhero films need to do is, you know, they need to have the normal big saving the world story, but it needs to have a B story underneath, which is the superhero's secret identity, desperately trying to struggle to earn money to feed her kids.
Yeah, the single mother trying to feed her kids, but secretly she's Peter Parker. But no, it's a running joke that if you want to get an Oscar, you have to play someone disabled. But when you look at the Oscar wins for best lead actor, if you want to win an Oscar, play somebody disabled. That's as plain as it could be. And it just makes me laugh that it, you know, stereotypes are formed in cases like this for a reason. And the Academy Awards do have that stereotype. It's annoying. Okay, right. That is all my negativity out of the way. Let's talk about some good films. Let's talk about, I went to the cinema the other day and I saw the second best Marigold Hotel. Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay, go and see it. Because I loved the first one. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it with you, actually. Did I see it with you? Yes, yeah, we did, yeah.
It was one of those films like the Artist, in that we went to see the film and we were the only people under the age of 50 in the cinema.
Yeah, we were, yeah. And you know what? The same can be said for when Sophie and I went the other day. I definitely want to see it again. I will say, I'm not going to ruin anything for you. I will say, it's not as good as the first one.
Yes, I sadly, in this household, we get the Times newspaper. Mm. The Times didn't like it very much at all. Sadly.
I still enjoy it.
I do still want to see it.
I think and you'll know what I mean when you get to the ending. The ending was a little bit confused. Not confusing.
Just, yeah. No, I know.
It wasn't quite sure what point it wanted to make at the end. If it was trying to make a point at all. But you'll understand what I mean. It's still very good. And the great thing about it is you get a lot more Maggie Smith in this one. They realised that she was the breakout character in the last film, and they've played to that. They've really given her some. And her chemistry with Dev Patel, oh my God, so good. Like, just so good.
Okay, so, I'm looking forward to
go that. Watch it, yeah.
I'm hoping... I do hear that Tamsin Grieg's role isn't huge in it, but
It's not huge.
I'm still looking forward to it.
But she's in it quite a lot still.
Okay.
She's probably in it about as much as Tom Wilkinson was in the last one. She's an important character with a few scenes. She's always in the background quite a bit, but she's not one of the main. She's a strong supporting character though. You'll like her character. It's very her. So.
Okie dokie.
But yeah, so I'm trying to think what else has been out in the cinema recently. I mean, I suppose we can't really talk. I know we don't like to keep it very topical, but considering that we're talking about the Oscars, which was only last week, I think we should mention the other big movie news that's hit this week, in that Leonard Nimoy died, which...
Yes, of course.
Like,
very sad.
I sat down to dinner with Sophie the other day. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was the day we went to see the second best Marigold Hotel. And sat down to dinner, you know, eating. And then all of a sudden she just goes, "Oh, you heard about Leonard Nimoy, didn't you?" I went, "Oh, yeah, he was rushed into hospital with chest pains." And she went, "No, he's dead." And I was like... "No.
Oh, dear.
No, he's not. He's just in hospital." She was like, "Honestly, he's dead.
He's just a little bit poorly."
And I was like, "No. The doctor said he was going to be fine." And he was dead as a doormat. He was a late Leonard Nimoy.
Futurama was going to get another series, and then we're going to do another Star Trek.
I know. These were things that were going to happen. But oh well. Yeah, I'm very very sad to hear that. But oh well. He had a good send off. He had a good run as well. So.
Yeah. I do the quote, but I don't know the quote. All I know is that his was the most human.
He lived long and prospered. You should have just said that.
He did. He did, and he made the Bilbo Baggins of the Mole video.
It could be argued that if he hadn't done that, the Lord of the Rings films wouldn't have been made today. So yeah. That's the way I like to see it, anyway.
He was certainly instrumental in their creation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about movies then. So we'll move on to just general movies now. And I'm also going to try and stick a pin in there. And I know it's going to be a lot harder for me than it probably will be for you. But let's try and steer away from comic book movies as well.
Okay.
What would you say are some of your favourite movies?
Ooh.
I only say some because I think you're like me in that you don't have one favourite movie. And if you do, it regularly changes.
Now, I did mention in our Creature Comforts podcast that I do have the one film that I always go and watch if I'm feeling quite down and sad.
Yeah.
Which is Juno.
Yeah.
Which I really, really enjoy. Ellen Page... At her best, I'd say.
I remember watching Juno with you when you were in a bad mood.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I know you hadn't seen it before, and I kept telling you you ought to.
Yeah.
So I'm quite glad in that sense that I was in a bad mood while you were.
Yeah.
But yes, no, sir, and it was very much her breakout performance. I know mm-hmm. she did. X-Men 3 at around the same time.
Yeah, there were three films that sort of came out around that period. There was that, there was Juno, and then there was Hard Candy as well, which came out, I believe, a little bit later, but no less well received. As opposed to Juno, not X-Men, because X-Men wasn't well received. But we did get Days of Future Past out of it, so swings and roundabouts, silver linings, all that jazz. But I did enjoy Juno when I watched it. I don't think I quite loved it as much as you do, but
no. Well, this is a game of, it's only with repeated watchings that I have come to really like it. I saw it for the first time in the cinema. It was actually in Australia. I was
mm-hmm.
at the time. And there was a friend and I staying out there. We were trying to think of something to do. We said, "Oh, let's go and see what's on at the cinema." I think mm-hmm. we'd already seen Cloverfield, which was out at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's weird Blair Witch Godzilla movie. And I said, "Well, what about Juno? You know, I saw that advert for mm-hmm. Saw the advert for it. Looks an interesting story."
Yeah.
And his reaction was, "All right, well, let's go and watch it, but as long as it's not an advocate for teen pregnancy." I said, I'm sure that's not.
You know, yeah, if it does, that's not the case.
I'm sure if it does, you know, you know, say it's not the worst thing in the world, it's not going to be a film that just does that for hours.
Yeah.
And it by no means advocates teen pregnancy, but it.
No. Know, yeah.
You know, it's a story about making good choices and the right choices yeah. for the right things and all that jazz. But yes, no, it was, and then I seen it a couple of times at friends' houses when they'd say, oh, let's watch a movie. Oh, I've got Juno, let's watch that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, people want to watch that, let's watch that. And as I say, with repeated showings, each time I see it, I think I appreciate it a little more.
Yeah.
Funny enough. And also it has J.K. Simmons in it, being a sort of slightly grumpy but very teasing his kids kind of dad.
That was which one very nice. Person I forgot to mention, sorry, with the Oscars. I was glad that J.K. Simmons got an Oscar.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. Nice, fun. Yeah.
Well, with the males, the BAFTAs and the Oscars are in agreement with each other.
Yeah.
At least.
Mm-hmm. But, so what else, what other films are really sort of like up your street, really sort of like, other than Juno, which is like you say, your comfort film?
There aren't a huge amount that I rewatch again and again. Generally, if there's something I'm rewatching, it'll tend to be a TV show.
Yeah.
I find if I'm going back to something, I'm willing to invest half an hour rewatching something I've already seen.
Yeah.
But a whole movie, you know, that's a couple of hours or longer.
Yeah.
Which is a bit long for something I've already seen. Although. I'm a little illogical in that way because, you know, I'll watch six or seven Family Guy episodes I've seen
in a row.
when I could watch a
good movie. Sophie and I will do that though. We'll say like, oh, I don't want to watch a film. I haven't got the patience to watch a film today. Let's just watch a couple of episodes or something and half a season of Family Guy later that night.
Well, you know, it's easy watching. It's like a screensaver in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I get very annoyed with my dad. Quite often, I'll come in from work for my lunch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I by the time I get home, I've usually got maybe about half an hour for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, I'll sit down in front of the TV and I'll usually bring out my phone. But I'll quite often I'll just flip to Friends on Comedy Central, purely because it's just a screensaver for the mind. What I'm really doing is looking at my phone, checking my emails, checking my messages, and you know having a bit of lunch at the same time. But I want something in the background that I know that's familiar.
Yeah.
And it really annoys me when my dad especially will come and say, "Oh, fucking Friends again!" You know, it's all just canned laughter. Which no, it isn't. It's a live studio audience, and you know, you've seen them all before. Yes, I know. I just need something familiar.
Yeah,
you know that I don't have to pay attention to. I'm sure I've probably seen every episode of Friends before. So you know, I can watch my phone and not pay attention to it, and then put my phone down and you know have my smoked Bavarian cream filled sausage. And pay attention to it for a little while, and you know it's just familiar faces. So I like that kind of thing. I like having the kind of screensaver thing.
Yeah.
For the brain, and there aren't really any movies that are like that for me.
I know of at least one for me that has that effect. It's not a good movie by any means, and you're probably going to laugh, but it's a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine, it is Adam Sandler.
I had a feeling it might be.
And I don't know why I like this film as much as I do. I've always liked this film, and that's 50 First Dates. With Drew Barrymore as well, and I don't know why I like it. It's just there doesn't seem to be any sort of like any drama in the film, even though considering you know the whole trauma and everything like that. But it just seems to me it's just a nice, happy film, happy ending. It's Adam Sandler not doing awful, awful Adam Sandler things. And I enjoy the film. It makes me happy. And it's certainly one of those films I could put on. And as you say, it's a screensaver for the mind. Another one of those films now, I would say, I could probably do that with The Avengers. Just because I've seen it so many times that I could drop in and out of that film and know exactly what's happened. Yeah. Just by the line. I wouldn't even need to see the screen. Yeah. I'd just be able to hear the first part of a character's line and go, oh, right, so it's Loki in the chamber. Or, you know, oh, right, it's Nick Fury at the end or something like that, you know. But no, yeah, I do find myself rewatching movies quite a lot. But I think the worst thing is I always seem to rewatch the not amazing movies. I don't ever, like, I've got The Godfather recorded downstairs, and I keep saying to myself, I really want to rewatch The Godfather. I haven't seen The Godfather in so long. I can barely even remember what happens. I know the main plot points, but I can't remember how they get to them. It's a, you know, fantastic story. I thought, you know what? I'll record it, got it on my Sky Plus. Have I fucking watched it? No. I watched fucking Rat Race instead. And you know what? For a shit film, I like Rat Race. But yeah, it is a shit film.
It's a very shit film, but I quite... Purely for the cast.
Yeah.
I enjoy Rat Race.
Yeah.
It's fun. I don't think there's anyone, any of that cast that I regret it being in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's got all the different comedy tropes. There are some parts of it that I find very annoying.
Mm.
But, you know, it's I no matter how bad she is in a film, I always enjoy seeing Whoopi Goldberg. No matter how... And she can be terrible. Yeah. She's been in some stinkers. But I always, always enjoy seeing Whoopi Goldberg in a film.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think if there's any... Again, if there's any more that I've rewatched that, you know, again, they're not great films, but I just find that I rewatch them if they're on. It's Will Ferrell films. Will Ferrell films that I'll end up watching again and again. Not through me going, oh, you know, I really need to watch a Will Ferrell film. It'd just be me wanting to do something and thinking, oh, I need some background noise. I don't really want to listen to music. Oh, I've got Step Brothers there. I'll put that on. I've got The Other Guys. You know what? I've actually come to really admire the film The Other Guys with Mark Wahlberg because it's on as background noise. Okay, so are there any films that you think maybe I haven't seen that you'd like to recommend? I've got at least one for you, I hope, anyway, that I hope you haven't seen it. I've probably already recommended it to you before. But could you think
there's
of anything?
There's not a huge amount that I think you wouldn't have seen. I did watch just the other day Jack the Giant Slayer.
I've recorded that. I haven't seen it. It's Thingy from Skins, isn't it? Nicholas Holtz.
Nick Holtz. He's... it's not a great film.
Yeah.
But it's fine, you know. And I think you'll enjoy it for some of the twinges that I had in it, because it will give you Attack on Titan twinges. Not really bad ones.
Yeah,
these giants are not nearly as terrifying as the Attack on Titan giants. But because I know you know we've watched that series, and we do have that inbuilt terror.
Yeah,
they will suddenly burst through the roof at any moment.
Yeah,
it will add an extra element to that film.
Okay, cool.
So I think to anyone who's seen Attack on Titan, I would say.
Watch Jack the Giant Slayer.
I'd say, you will enjoy Jack the Giant Slayer that little bit more.
Just while they're making the live-action movie.
Well,
even though we're going to have to watch it in subtitles.
Well, it's Series 2 this year.
Oh, is it going to be this year? Is it
finally, I think this year.
I hope so. I've got all the manga. I need to read them.
I need to catch up. I've not read any for months. So I'll be 3 or 4 volumes behind now.
Yeah, I definitely need to have a catch up. But okay, I'm thinking of a couple of films that I'd probably recommend to you. One of them, there's one film I would definitely recommend to you, and that is, and again, I don't know whether you've seen this film or not, but it's called The Page Master.
Oh, I have seen it years and years ago.
Oh, I've got so much love for that film.
I need to rewatch it because I it's one of those films that my memory of it is very confused.
Yeah.
Because I can remember bits of the end. It's clearly one of those films that was. The thing is, when you're quite small and at a boarding school, on weekends especially, there'll be a lot of teachers will set up movies in various classrooms.
Yeah.
Just as an extra something to do. Usually you're outside or doing something or other. Yeah. But especially in the evenings, various movies will be put on. And you can go and watch sort of whatever one you want. And I know that's one I've walked in and out of.
Yeah.
At various points.
Yeah.
I may have seen the whole thing from start to finish, but I'm not 100% sure, and I do need to see it.
See, I saw that one. I had that on VHS. When I was young, probably watched it 30 or 40 times when I was a child, loved it, forgot all about it when I was growing up, remembered it a couple of years ago, I was like, fuck me, I remember that film, I'm going to have to download that. I downloaded it and I had a torrent with one person as the CD. It took me like 2 months to fucking download, but I was like adamant that I was having this film, and finally I got it. And rewatched it. And you know when you rewatch stuff you used to watch as a child and you realise, oh, it's not as good. Mm-hmm. I still have the same love for it as I had as a child. It still stands up as a... It's a lot shorter than I remember as a child. My attention span must have been, less then. But, I still have that same feeling of, oh, this is just cool. This is just a good film. Even though it's Macaulay Culkin and Macaulay Culkin as well, Macaulay Culkin. But it's when he was a kid, so it's when he was good.
I found on a fair few occasions that movies from my childhood will have an astonishing power to bring me to tears that nothing else has the power to do. my whole family could be killed by a meteorite tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't cry the way I cried the other day. It was... Oh, what was it? The Feifel film. The Rats Coming to America.
An American Tale.
An American Tale, that's the one. It was the most of the movie I was watching. I'm dim memories of this coming back. I completely forgotten that part. I'd forgotten almost all the story. So when I rewatched it, but it wasn't until right at the end where he is reunited with his father.
Yeah.
Right at the end, where he's saying "Papa, Papa," and they he runs into his arms and they hug, and you've got the sunlight shining on all the
colours. You can't actually see this, right? But I've seen that film a few times. I remember it as a child. And then, so when you went, Papa, Papa, then, I didn't hear you say it. I heard him say it, and I got goosebumps down my arm because I remember that scene in the film.
That had me crying the way I hadn't cried in years and years. The only thing that had made me cry that much in recent years is when I rewatched The Snowman for the first time in ages. Yeah. And that was right at the end when, because I'd completely forgotten that at the end the snowman melts.
The main thing.
I know it's the main thing, but it had been that long that I was remembering, the snowman dance party and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd forgotten that. It's the next morning, the boy comes out, and there's just the hat and the scarf and the melting on the snow. And that had me crying. But, it's obviously, films that had a powerful impression on me when I was little have that
that recollection power.
No,
but even just talking about that scene in American Tail, I'm not starting to actually cry, but I can feel my tear ducts starting to react ever so slightly.
Yeah.
I can feel probably because I'm a little bit tired as well.
Yeah. I completely agree. There are films that, like you say, when you watch them as a child, it's not only that something in this film is sad, but it's also that sort of nostalgic sort of feeling of that of being a child as well. The film Land Before Time for me, I don't know if you've seen it. Have you?
Oh yeah, of course.
So fucking when Littlefoot's mom dies.
I'm fairly sure that is what, because that's one I caught a little bit of one of the awful sequels.
Yeah.
The other day it was being replayed on.
Yeah.
One of the kids' channels way below Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
On Sky. But I'm fairly sure the first one might well have that power over me. So.
Yeah, I mean,
if ever one day I need a good cry, maybe I'll.
One of those. I'll watch it and I know what's going to happen. And I'm still like, I got the lug in my throat and the jaw starts to tremble. I'm saying to myself, there's no one in the room. I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to fucking cry. I'm not going to fucking cry about a fucking dinosaur. And then there I am. I'm fucking crying because his mom's dead and he doesn't know what to do and he's lost. He's a lost little boy. And he's fucking, and I'm sort of like, I'm laughing at myself. Like, but. I tell you what, I don't think you've ever sat down with my sister and watched a film with her, have you? Or have you? I don't know.
I don't think so, no.
My sister will cry at anything, the slightest thing. So, for example, right, Big Hero 6 is the one I watched recently with her. Now, obviously, spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't yet seen it, because it is still in the cinema. So, if you don't want to know what happens, just skip the next 30 or 40 seconds.
To be clear, listeners in America, because I know we've got a couple.
Yeah.
Howdy there. It's in the cinema still here. I know it's probably out on DVD.
Yeah, you guys had it in October, you lucky so-and-sos. But yeah.
Fuck you, Disney. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, it's okay, because we get Avengers first, so.
We do get Avengers. We get it a whole week ahead.
Was it a week now?
It's just a week.
Oh, it was 2 weeks back on. Oh, well. Anyway, so Baymax, you'd think that the crying scene would be when Baymax sacrifices himself at the end, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it was the crying scene, but first she cried when Tadashi died, which, I mean, I
can kind of see that.
I suppose it was sad, but he wasn't there long enough for there to be. No, there's Maria in like floods of tears, crying her eyes out. 21-year-old woman crying her eyes out. And then so I'm watching this. And she's crying at that. I'm thinking, I cannot wait till the end when you find out that Baymax dies. And of course, gets to the end. And in the meantime, my mom has come in and started watching it. And my mom likes animated films, but she's not mad on them. So she's watching it. She's sort of just like taking it all in. My grandma has come round and has started watching it. And she's like, oh, what's this crap? And I'm like, oh, you wouldn't like it, grandma. Like, so we're all watching the end.
Yeah.
And I know what's happening. My mom's just sort of like, oh, yeah, whatever. My grandma just has no idea what's happening. There's Maria, like, hyperventilating. actually, needs a, like, bag to breathe in. That's how upset she is that Baymax sacrificed himself. And I am in floods of tears, not with sadness, with laughter at my sister. And she will cry at any film. Like, the saddest thing, you could tell her, oh, what film did I tell her about? There's a film called Hatchie, A Dog's Tale, and it's a true story about Nikita, who bonded with its owner so much that when the owner died, it lived at the train station that its master had left him at to go to work and not come back because he died, and how the town tried to sort of, like, help this dog get over, and there's it was in Japan, and there's actually a full bronze statue now of the dog that literally lived at the station for 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, I know what that is. That's in... Damn it, I know. It's where the game The World Ends With You is set, because it's in that game.
Oh, is it?
I can't remember what the name of the place is now.
That is. But so this film, there's an American version of the film. Richard Gere plays the master. And I told Maria about this film. Just 5 minute little description. Told her about the story of Hatchie the dog that loved its owner so much that it couldn't ever go home after his master left him and died. And like I said, I told her about the film. She hasn't even seen the film. All I did was tell her and I made her cry. Like, that's how bad my sister is with that sort of feelings when it comes to films.
Oh.
So, and the worst thing is, Sophie started doing it now. We watched Lilo and Stitch, not last week, the week before.
Oh no, that is one, if I had seen it when it first came out, or when I was young enough, I know that would have the power to make me cry these days.
Really?
Yes.
I did, yeah, because I just always loved it. I it's a sad bit, but I've never cried at him when he's crying that he's lost and everything. There's Sophie, floods of tears.
That's one that, it really gets to me now, but
yeah.
it doesn't have that power, because I never saw it that long time ago,
yeah.
But... that is one film I didn't watch until a couple of years ago, actually.
Really?
I'd never seen Lilo and Stitch. I'd seen a very short bit of it, but I hadn't seen the whole thing. I completely understand with that film.
Yeah. I mean, it was even to the point, it was a couple of days later, we were watching Family Guy, and it still affected her, because we're watching Family Guy, and I can't even remember what episode it is, but Brian happens to mention his mum. And how he was abandoned, essentially. And it's one of the newer episodes, because I know it wasn't the episode with his mum in, but he mentioned his mum and mentioned that he missed her or something like that. And there's Sophie again, like, starting to go. And it was okay when we watched Lilo and Stitch, because I've got a fucking huge Stitch toy that I just went and got for her to cuddle. And now she's seen this episode and she got all upset about Brian. Brian is now her favourite character and she wants a Brian toy. And I'm like, I don't even know where to get one that's decent quality. Like, but no. I can't say I cry a lot of films. That's the thing. Like,
no, it's very rare the film can bring me to, you know, sometimes I'll well up a bit.
There's a couple of films that really do get me. The Lion King gets me, but I don't cry at it anymore. It just makes me sad when, you know, his dad dies and everything. Forrest Gump. Now, that's a film that I used to cry at when I was young. And so even now, like, I just well up, when he's reading the letter to Jenny, Jenny's grave. That gets me. And, the Titanic. I don't care what anyone says. I am a very manly man that loves the film The Titanic, and it fucking breaks my heart. It's the music to it, though. It wouldn't have nearly the effect it does have on me if it wasn't for the music. Like, that film is just so good.
True. I haven't sat down and properly watched that for a long time, so that, again, that might be one that gets me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know we planned at one point when it had that 3D release at the cinemas, we planned to see it, but we never did.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've got it on Blu-ray now, so it's one of those films. I won't re-watch it very often or anything, but when I do watch it, I just always enjoy it. Just always enjoy that film. I'm trying to think if there's any other films that I've ever cried at now, innit? There's probably a few, but I don't remember them. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Fucking Romeo and Juliet. That wasn't me that cried, though. That was Sophie. We watched that a couple of months ago, and she was like, "Oh, I don't really want to watch it." And I was like, "No, seriously, it's really funny, really good film." And we did watch it, and. The bit with the flamingo, when the flamingo is telling his life story, she's crying. I was like, "Oh, good God, this is Romeo and Juliet!" Like, I do like that film, though. I don't know whether you've seen it. Where
I still haven't seen it.
I do
want to see it.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't fucking ruin the flamingo story now, then. I was going to say, glad. Watch it. It's very good. Very good. Okay, so are there any films that you wouldn't recommend to me? Any films in your head that you just think, I really wish I'd not seen that? And you're not allowed to include any of the films that we've done in the bad movie reviews, even though you fucking liked movie 43.
I liked some.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought it was a pile of horseshit, but there were some bits I liked. Oh, one thing I never... Go back and listen to Flustercuck.
Yeah.
Movie 43 for this continued discussion.
Yeah.
But I never got to say how strenuously I could not stand the fucking framing device.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned it very briefly in the beginning of that show, but it was like they were fucking kids from a 90s movie.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they discovered the internet, or they'd been boosted into 2014. You know, no one is like that anymore.
Yeah.
there was sort of, it was like, what's that stupid Keanu Reeves time traveling thing?
Oh, I know what you're on about, yeah.
Bill and Ted? Or is that?
Yeah, Bill and Ted's Fantastic Journey. There's two, isn't there? So.
Yeah, but it was like those films, but even fucking worse.
Yeah.
God, that fucking thing was so irritating. I think that's probably why I enjoyed some of the sketches more than I should have. Because, in contrast to this famous device, they were actually all right.
Actually, that brings about another sort of question I wanted to ask as well. Are there any bad movies that people say are bad that you actually like? That you enjoy? Bad reviews, bad critical feedback, perhaps even bad box office, but you think, it was a good movie. Because I like the Transformers movies. It seems to be that the critics fucking hate it. Hate them all.
I didn't mind the first two Transformers movies.
Number two was the one I disliked the most.
The third one was just too fucking long for me.
Yeah.
And it didn't have enough of a journey that I felt compared to the first two.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen the fourth one. I will see it at some point, I'm sure.
The fourth one's okay. The fourth one would be a very good third one if the third one hadn't happened.
Yeah. Well, I from what I understand, it's just that for one thing, the Transformers aren't in it enough. I'm just trying to think if there's anything staring towards my DVD shelf at the minute.
I'm just looking at mine now. Small Soldiers was one for me. That didn't get great reviews, but I really liked it.
There really isn't a huge amount. I fear I'm a bit too typical.
Alex, snob. I don't watch bad movies.
I don't mean typical. I mean I have the same opinions as the masses.
Yeah.
Going back to movies I dislike. There's a whole genre I don't like, which is horror. Apparently thriller as well.
Oh really?
That's what Nightcrawler is supposed to be, and I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched it.
No, I haven't. I've got it though now. I have got it. I've got a decent copy of it, so I will watch it. I've already talked to you about horror films, and my reason that I love them so much, and that's just because when I'm really angry or really upset, it's just nice to watch pretty people die.
Yeah. I mean, I do mean to, at one point, I'm really angry, try watching one from that perspective, but.
The more modern the film, the better, because it always seems to be that your standard horror film now tries to find new and creative ways to kill people, when really, I mean, the scary stuff is the more classic stuff anyway. I mean, for example, I know this isn't a film, this is a game, right? But I downloaded a game today. I've read a few really good reviews about this game, and I always thought it sounded fucking stupid. Downloaded it today. It's called Five Nights at Freddy's.
Right. Ooh, yes. I've seen a couple of videos of
that. Yeah, right. And it's just this simple point-and-click game. I've got it on my phone, so it's rather than point-and-click, it's the same sort of principle. You just have to swipe and tap. And that's the thing. There's five buttons in the whole game. Two of them close the doors and then open them again. There's two of them turn on lights, and then the other one is just to look at the cameras, and then you can switch between the cameras. And it's basically the Weeping Angels, except they're not Weeping Angels, like from Doctor Who. They're these fucking Chuck E. Cheese rip-off
animatronic things.
Fucking terrifying, mate. Ridiculous. Like, how scary.
Horror games I quite enjoy playing, especially if there's other people with me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I enjoy that social scare. I'm not so keen on doing it myself because they'll still scare me, obviously. But
when you've got someone there, it's kind of like it almost takes you on a bit more. Yeah. I mean, me and Elliot worked our way through playing Outlast and then played the DLC for Outlast as well, and that was a great game because it was quite original in that you didn't have a weapon. If something was coming after you, you had no way to fight it. You had to run and you had to hide. So you had to plan accordingly when you were working your way through these sort of hallways and through these places, because you had to basically find, right, here's my hiding spot. Absolutely great game. But as you say, horror.
I went through one game I really enjoyed was Slender. I don't know if you ever played Slender.
I don't see, there's so many different games with Slender Man in it. I've played games with the Slender Man. Which one was Slender?
Well, Slender one where you're just in a large wooded area and there's a few things there, there's a few odd statues and an abandoned looking building. And you're walking around.
And did you have to collect notes?
Yes, you're trying to find eight pages. Notes.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I have played it. Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. That was scary as well.
That was scary.
Yeah. Get a couple of people in there. Turn the lights off. And play through that.
No. Yeah. But no, I do like horror films. Like I say, you need to be in that type of mood where you need to see pretty people die in creative and innovative ways, and generally speaking, the worse the review is for said horror film, the better it is. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some horror films that I enjoy purely for the fact that they are good films. The original Nightmare on Elm Street films are superb. They're completely genre defining, or at least the first one is. the one subsequent, they're just fun, but that first one, absolutely genre defining. And like I said, there are a few horror films. This is a film that got bad reviews that I actually really liked. Right, it's called The Mist, and I don't know whether you've seen it.
No.
And the basic premise is, that people live in a small town and there's a military facility up on the mountain near them, and one day this mist sort of descends on the town, and everyone thinks, oh, the fog's a bit thick today, and then all of a sudden people start dying in the mist. It's like there's things living in the mist. Turns out some military experiment went wrong, and so something's been set loose on the town, and the most of the film is set with this small group of people that barricade themselves in the local sort of supermarket, and it's about them basically trying to survive. And fuck me, like the film was good until the ending. The fucking ending polarized people. Some people like, oh my god, that's the stupidest ending ever. I fucking love this ending. I'm gonna spoil it for you now, because I mean, you're probably never gonna watch it anyway. The ending, they try and escape, and all the people in the supermarket basically rally behind this one woman who's basically saying, oh, it's the apocalypse, the devil has come. So these guys escape from the supermarket, they drive away, they just drive as far as they can, until the petrol runs out, and they've got a gun, and there's four people in the car, and there's four bullets. So they decide, right, we're going to have to kill ourselves. There's two people in the back, there's the main character, and then there's the main character's son.
Right.
So the main character goes, right, I'll do it. I'll take it upon myself. I'll do it. So he kills people, kills his own son. He goes to put on his army arrive with loads of fucking tanks and weapons to fight whatever's in the mist. And that's how it ends. And I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. That's so horrible. That's like awful. That's like the worst thing that could possibly happen. As there as well, the steering behind them as well. They found a way to stop someone. I just need to watch someone else have a worse life than the classic on that film. And I was like, it's cool. And then you're going to be safe. A little fucking patience and you'd have been fine. But great film. Great film. I'm just thinking, is there anything else we need to cover on movies while we're here? Still staying away from the old comic book movies that I tend to talk about far too much.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about one supposed to be a big briefly. One
Marvel announcement. Oh, go on. You go first. You go first.
Let's talk about, sadly, the EU film didn't review very well. I went on the last podcast, I enjoyed The Dark World, and a lot of
people, I enjoyed that as well, yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. It's one of my favourite of all the MCU films. It went to the Winter Soldier, it was based on so that they could put the Winter Soldier tops. And yeah, decided I thought that should go at the bottom.
Yeah.
But no,
you give the people what they want, and then you just fucking... We want to see Loki. Okay, I'll give you Loki. Oh, no, that film was crap. It's exactly what you asked for, and more. Okay, Chris Eccleston wasn't good. I'll give you that. But it has more Kat Dennings.
It does have more
swings Kat and Dennings. Roundabouts. Anyway, there's supposed to be a big, like big Marvel screens. Announcement tomorrow.
Oh, right, didn't they?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, when they've just started releasing the character posters for Avengers Age of Ultron, and when they released the Tony Stark one, Rob Downey Jr. was the one that posted it and said, I can't quite remember the wording, but he was basically like, and I'm not supposed to mention the big announcement like next Tuesday at like 8 PM PNC or something like that, you know, like Pacific Mid West time or whatever. I was like, oh my god, don't cover an announcement. I reckon it'll be the cast of the Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
I reckon they've already cast it. I have a feeling
that well, you know, the movie's coming out
that we're
next,
going to get
a
post
making it
post credits. What, Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Start
for,
making what? Yeah, Spider-Man.
For,
yeah,
for Civil War. I mean, Civil War's coming out.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Due
yeah.
to come out next year, so they'll start making it if they haven't started already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So of course
they. I don't think they've started filming yet. I think
right, well.
So, but I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be the casting of Spider-Man, and I expect a post-credit scene with Uncle Ben dying and Avengers put in. And wait, they've got Uncle Ben out of the way. It's happened. There you go. It's on. Even better would be just one of them Marvel one-shots. Get it out of the way. There you go. Done. So, but
If I had to make a prediction, then I would predict that...
Well, you'd be wrong.
Who's a nice, obscure, ridiculous character? I would
Beta Ray Bill.
No, too mainstream. Some people actually know who he is. I would predict that Molly Hayes, the super strong preteen mutant girl who falls asleep after she punches people too much,
will come in and punch Captain America halfway across the room like she does in one of the comic books.
On top of your prediction, I also think that Namor, the submariner, will feature at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron, and he will be played by Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder's fine, but you know, it's just Namor the character. No, he's an unpleasant character that won't leave the good guys alone.
He just, I think that's what I like about him.
He just keeps hanging out with them. It's like, can't be bothered. At this point, they just can't be bothered to try and get rid of him.
Yeah.
And every time they say, look, every time someone gets frustrated and says, turns around and says, look, you're a douche. It's like, yeah, well, I was friends with Captain America in World War II, so, nah.
He does seem like the guy that would just pull out the, yeah, but I'm rubber, you're glue, so bounce off me, stick to you.
On a quick note of submariners, what did you think of the Jason Momoa picture that came out?
I think, well, I enjoyed, what's his fucking name? Oh, who played Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy? What was his name? Dave Bautista. I enjoyed Dave Bautista as Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. I was disappointed when Jason Momoa was offered the role of Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy and turned it down because, quote, I don't want to keep playing the guy that keeps taking off his shirt in action roles. So what do I think of Jason Momoa in the new Aquaman picture? I think he should stop.
Technically, he's not taking his shirt off.
If you want to talk technicalities with me. No, he looks badass, and he looks exactly as badass as Aquaman needs to look for you to take Aquaman seriously. Because let's be fair, he doesn't do a fucking lot, does he? And I know there's people that are going to be in uproar about that. You know, all four of you that like him. But let's be fair, he hasn't really progressed with the times as much as the others had. Not to mention, there's probably less fish in the sea now. There's probably more fish in correctional facilities now than there was in the sea 100 years ago. So
I'm pleased that Jason Momoa is Aquaman.
Yeah,
he's well cast. To make him serious. I'm just really annoyed that they decided that, oh, updating Aquaman just means making him a homogenous grey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, here's badass Aquaman.
Yeah.
All in greys and dark, and greys and blacks and looking grim and gritty. I mean, you could have that, but it's the problem with the DC films. They're grey and grim and gritty and humourless.
Yeah.
Whereas
the only colour you get is blood, and they don't even show a lot of that because they're fucking rated 12.
I would have more respect for that. I would have much more respect because they could pull it off with Jason Momoa.
Mm.
They could have him in the green and orange.
Yeah.
And Jason Momoa would make it work.
Yeah. It wouldn't even need to be green and orange. It could be like gold.
Yeah, yeah, you could make the orange more gold, and you
gold,
could
yeah.
You could tone the green down so it's a darker green, like a hunter green, rather than the fucking bright green he wears. But no, let's just make him gritty and grey and, you know,
boring.
It just reminds me that the last superhero film was called Man of Steel. Grey, hard, grim, gritty. Let's take some of the colour out of the costume.
Ugh. See, I enjoyed Man of Steel.
I did, more but a lot of people did. I enjoyed the film, but I didn't enjoy it as much as you, but I completely agree with all the criticism and
oh yeah, I had big problems with it. But my
I couldn't watch it again and again like I would any other Marvel film. Like, it seems with the DC ones, once is enough probably for a while. But I'm looking forward to the Justice League. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to pull out the bag. The only thing I'm worried is they're kind of going down the line of, I am Aquaman and I have a trident. I am nothing like Thor. He has a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that trident's pretty prominent. It's kind of like, look, we carry weapons too. Ours have pointy edges. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Ben Affleck as Batman. As soon as I've seen that, I'll be able to make a proper judgment as to whether these films are going to tank or not.
I'll just say, which would you rather have in regards to the trident versus hammer argument? Which would you least like to have thrown at you? A hammer? Which would you least like to have thrown at you? A fork or a brick? I'm going to be a bit more worried about the brick, if I'm honest.
Yeah. But, I mean, we need to put them into better context. If we're going to use a fork for the trident, really, it's a fork or a cinder block.
Yeah. Anywho.
Or a spork and a brick.
Can the spork magically be thrown and zap back to Aquaman's hands? I don't know.
It is if he's Spackleman. I'm sure I've been politically incorrect there. I'm just trying to find where. Final point on comic book movies. I'm glad to see that Birdman has had an effect on Hugh Jackman. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't. Everything's always having an effect on Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Whether it's a movie he's been in or something else, he goes, "Ooh, look, people like that. I like to be liked."
I like Hugh Jackman. Don't.
I like Hugh Jackman. I like Hugh Jackman too. I like him very much, but I find his reactions to things quite amusing.
Well, he said that after watching Birdman, he's got the feeling that he wants to play Wolverine until he dies, which fucking well works for me, because I want my Wolverine to stay the same. So, of course, he could die tomorrow, and he meant it. I'm just putting that out there.
But, yeah, maybe that's I'll play Wolverine till I die. I'm off on a bender.
Yeah. I'm going out now. I won't be back for some time.
Papa's just off to get some cigarettes.
Right, I think we've covered movies then for tonight. Yeah. I'm shut down. Okay. Thank you all for listening. As always, if you'd like to contact us, the email is thetagpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is thetagpodcast.wordpress.com. We are open to spicy fan art, suggestions, nude pictures, phone numbers, any of those things. We will pass those on to our HR department. Do we have an HR department?
Well, we can have. I have a boy who brings me coffee, but I didn't. But I sort of hired him myself.
Leave Pablo out of this.
Well, we'll get an HR department.
Okay, right.
But you know, we're not going to pander to the PCs. We're going to call them servants.
There are more servants in correctional. right, no, I'm done. Okay, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you and good night. Bye-bye.